Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning.
He's living up to his name.
Am today, yes.
Yes, he is. Hey, we were watching President Biden on his bicycle.
He's former self-aware President Biden.
Oh, man.
That guy, I give it up to the guy, can ever more vacation. He spends more time vacation than he does at the White House.
But I heard estimates almost 40% of his time.
There is no
vacationing.
There is no way for anybody to look anything but goofy riding a bicycle with a safety helmet on.
Well, you're right.
And you should wear your safety helmet, but nobody's taking pictures of the average person out there. But you show a president riding on a bicycle and he's got his safety helmet on, it looks like I don't know what I'm saying. It looks kind of silly.
Bike helmets are functional. They're not accessories for your outfit.
I want to hear you say that to Ray.
Ray?
Ray Pritchard?
Yes.
Well, you didn't ever see Peter Fonda? Or who was? What was that?
Easy Rider.
Easy Rider. He didn't wear a helmet.
That was before.
You put a helmet on Easy Rider. That movie tanks.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. You want to see the main character's hair flow
yes.
in the breeze.
You got to look cool, man. Yeah. And safety helmets don't look cool.
Anyway, you have him riding a bike, and I'm sure that's to show that he is physically
healthy.
Fit
oh, yeah.
and healthy.
Well,
and they're hoping. Against hope that he doesn't fall over again.
Some people think Mike Dukakis. Remember him?
That's an excellent point.
The tank.
He was in the tank, and his head was sticking up out of the tank, and he looked like a complete dork.
Yeah, he had his tank helmet on.
Yeah,
and it was his moment of looking dorky. You're right. Yeah.
That probably did more.
It hurt him. Willie Horton,
Mike Dukakis. That was against. Bush wasn't it?
Yeah,
1988.
Yeah, don't get in a tank and smile at everybody and put on your helmet and it just anyway.
It's amazing what takes people out of a candidacy. You think of the Dean scream.
Yes,
and
true.
That was
Howard
it.
Dean, the Vermont
Howard
governor.
Howard Dean screamed, and that was it. He was sunk. He was done. And so
well, he deserved it with that that scream.
It was like a little girl.
It was kind of maniacal.
It was feminine.
Because he had won in Iowa, I think, and he was
right.
telling
he was celebrating, baby.
Celebrating with
we're
his.
We're going to go
his,
on to Mississippi.
We're going to go out to New Hampshire, South Carolina.
Right.
And then,
that ruined him.
Howard
right
Dean.
That was his moment. You know, he's still watching that video at home going,
I'm sure he is.
What might have been.
Oh.
They even got a name for what I did, honey. Call it your Howard Dean yourself.
The Dean scream.
The Dean scream. All right. So, yes, Mr. Jordahl.
Yes,
sir. I've got one additional one, and I'm not saying this is in the same category. Was who was the candidate who a picture surfaced? I think with. It wasn't Jessica Hahn. Anyway, no, it wasn't Jessica Hahn. It was he was on the boat with a woman.
The Monkey Business.
Monkey Business, and the name of the boat was Monkey Business, like a yacht.
Gary Hart.
Gary Hart.
And the gal was
Donna Rice.
Donna Rice.
Well,
who's now Donna Rice Hughes? I think the same person that is now a very credible spokesman.
Oh yeah.
She became a Christian.
Oh,
right.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
And does some powerful work.
But you're saying. Work. Monkey business going on board
I have no idea whether
I know
was going on, but she was sitting on his lap.
And he's
he
a
was
married,
married
man,
and the name of and the but you could see
right.
the boat
name Monkey Business.
Monkey Business.
That was,
and he was done. Gary Hart.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
But she did, Donna Rice Hughes,
yeah.
She did become a Christian.
Yeah.
And
she works against child exploitation.
Yeah. And fighting pornography. She's
right.
We've had her on our program before.
Yeah. Yep.
Very fine Christian lady.
That's a recovery for you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Steve. So what bringeth?
Well, can I use our program to forward my latest conspiracy theory? I like conspiracy theories.
As long as you tell people it's a conspiracy theory and that Tim and Ed have nothing to do with it.
It's a conspiracy theory. Tim and Ed have nothing to do
with it. All right,
go. Although if they are smart, they will agree with it. Just because, you know.
I do believe we landed on the moon, but go ahead.
All right. So we've been talking all show, and it's the news story that's sucking all the oxygen out of the room. There's hardly anything else going on in the world, but Donald Trump has been indicted for a third time. Well, it came up. It's a couple people have noticed this, one of them being Jesse Waters on The Five yesterday. These indictments are coming at odd times. They're just, it's so coincidental. Every time Hunter Biden's name shows up in the news, Trump gets indicted to push him off the front page. Listen to Cut 10.
If you don't think this is political, look at this. On March 17th, Hunter accidentally admits his laptop is his. The day after, Trump gets a notice that he's going to be indicted. June 8th, the FBI document drops that Biden took a $5 million bribe. The next day, June 9th, Mar-a-Lago indictment. July 31st, Devin Archer testifies that Joe was on the phone with the Hunter business partners. One day later, August 1st, Trump, January 6th indictment. So this is all coordinated.
Well,
The Devin Archer one, that's maybe a little more likely because they did have the schedule for his appearance before the committee. Those other two, I think it would be difficult to pull that off. But you apparently believe that this is a way to.
So you hold back the indictment. Jack Smith and his team are saying, let's hold back the indictment till Hunter gets in trouble, and then let's let it go. Is that what happened?
There are so many attacks against Donald Trump that they're lined up. And I'm not saying, I don't think anybody's saying that back in, you know, 2016 or 2020 when all this stuff started, that they said, oh, I think Hunter Biden might be in trouble. Let's start an investigation. But the investigations are going on, and how they're progressing and how they release the information about those investigations, when they decide to indict Donald Trump or to announce the indictment to Donald Trump, that is something that is a lot more flexible.
Well, sometimes there is some calculation to that. I do know that having worked, I've been here 27 years, Tim, you've worked here longer, when you are considering whether to release a press release, we were always told, but we have people that we hired to help us understand the press cycles and all that. They would always say, if you don't want something to get much press attention, not just to us, but the media, you release it on Friday afternoon or during July 4th week when people are on vacation.
That's a well-known
fact. If you want it in the news cycle, you release it Monday morning. So there is calculation that goes into when certain things are released. I'm not sure about the indictments, but it wouldn't surprise me that they would use whatever leverage was available. Although, like Tim's saying, that seems like a stretch to say we're going to hold the indictment until something juicy comes up about Hunter.
You believe in coincidences, then, is what.
Well, I believe that sometimes so much is going on, it can appear to be coincidental. But
all right,
I mean, no, listen, that's why we said go with it. We wanted to hear this. There are probably people who think that's likely.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In the end.
The media is not going to cover.
The media.
They're not going to cover it anyway.
It's not a Shazam moment to say the media is liberal and they hate conservatives.
And they're not going to cover the Hunter Biden stuff anyway. Whenever it happens.
Yeah. No, they have.
MRC's been, Media Research Center's been really good at documenting the lack of coverage.
Yeah. There's conservative alternative media in America today.
And that's why.
Yeah.
Because people don't trust the legacy media.
Exactly. All right, go ahead.
All right, we're finding out more about the complicity of the White House with social media to try to downplay and.
Which White House?
The one that Joe Biden's part of.
Okay, but the reason I bring that up is we've been talking about the Trump White House.
No, the one.
But
in
now
you're switching
to the current White House.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in the current its current iteration. Yeah. So this is during the pandemic. This is after Joe Biden has taken to the White House, and they're starting to actively, as we found out in the so-called Twitter files, that the White House and the Justice Department are actively trying to suppress what they think or call misinformation. Basically, it's inconvenient narratives or facts that they don't want to put out. And there were a lot of them surrounding COVID.
Right.
We found out ourselves when we tried to mention ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. You can't say those things. Well, they now have some emails. I don't know how they got them because Facebook isn't government. Well, I guess the White House pressed Facebook for special access to tools to target vaccine-hesitant users. People who didn't take the vaccine, and they berated Facebook employees for not sharing the data with the White House. So this would be a Freedom of Information Act from the White House. They found these emails that they sent to Facebook saying, "Hey, you gotta keep this disinformation away from the public. They can't be trusted." In fact, it's interesting. Courtney Rowe, who is Biden's head of strategic communication and public engagement for the response, she said this: if someone in rural Arkansas sees something on Facebook, it's the truth. What we need is help pushing back on the myths. So kind of dissing or making middle America sound stupid.
I'm a Yankee, yeah. And I get tired of the elites badgering and abusing people in the South and people in just even in the rural North and treating them like they're dummies. Some of the smartest people I know are living outside of Washington, D.C. and Harvard University.
On behalf of Southerners everywhere, Ed, I want to thank you. Stand it up for us.
I get tired of that. That's just – listen, I have people that I know up north who still think people in Mississippi don't wear shoes. Okay? I get sick of it. And then when they start talking about wanting to come down and visit, I say, no. I don't want any of you Yankees coming down here. You stay up there.
I would take you for a Red Sox, not a Red Sox.
I do think it's there are particular.
You're not helping the case.
No, I'm not. Tim. I'm not. I just thought about that. I just thought I just played right into that, didn't I? I can't even pronounce the word particular. There are particular stereotypes reserved. Just for Southerners,
right.
I agree. But I think it's more the big city elites,
yeah.
And their contempt, and sometimes obvious contempt for country folks.
Yes, that's true.
For the country bumpkins, no matter where they live.
Right.
They live out.
Might be in rural Ohio.
Yeah, rural Ohio, rural New Hampshire.
Right.
That's where the people in Boston go. Those hicks out in New Hampshire. Huh?
That's right.
But anyway, where were we?
Human nature at work.
But yeah.
So,
anyway, go ahead. So
right.
I don't even know what were we talking about.
Facebook
here?
White House is pressuring Facebook to censor COVID misinformation.
Okay. By the way, you use a term in there something about vaccine hesitant.
Yes,
people.
That's what
were they just talking about in general people who were hesitating,
yeah.
Or did they know? Did Facebook know who had not been vaccinated? This is something that I hope we can find an answer to in the years to come. Was the government keeping track of who was vaccinated and who wasn't? And then were they using social media to push a pro-vaccine ads towards people? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. If they are spying on Americans and if they had a list of people who were not vaccinated.
This is the way Fox News put it, that White House officials pressed Facebook for special access to tools to target vaccine-hesitant users. Now, a lot of people were pretty upfront. I never took a vaccine. I'm never
right.
going to take a vaccine. If they self-disclose, then it's not hard to find them.
Right.
And I suppose you could, but I mean, those are the people you'd probably be wasting your time to try to throw an ad
at
those people.
That phraseology could go either way. That could be, we want Facebook to target people in general, whoever they may be,
yeah.
who are hesitant to get a vaccine. We want to encourage them
this
to get
this type
one.
Of community. We're not seeing as many vaccinated
yeah.
among
or white. Were they targeting specific individuals that the federal government knew hadn't been vaccinated. My question is, how would they know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Anyway, so anybody out there who can figure that out, I'm
they know if you're a federal employee, they know.
Yes, that's true. Or in the military. Yeah, federal military.
All right, teachers. Hey, speaking of people that are a little arrogant in big towns, you guys know the name Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yes.
As an astrophysicist and a noted atheist and skeptic.
I do like his chicken, though.
Yeah.
Tyson chicken.
Not bad chicken.
I think you're confused.
You hit.
I don't like this guy. Yeah. I do pray for him when I see him because he's an atheist.
Yeah.
But go ahead with the story.
Well, he has used his deep knowledge in astrophysics to now speak out on gender issues. And you can see the connection, can't you?
No.
It's in the stars. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he is talking. And I want you to listen. I'm going to play you a little bit of what he had to say about transgender people. And I want you to listen to how he misstates the concern that those of us who are concerned about the way kids are treated or that we are being forced to accept things that are against our religion. Listen to how he misstates this issue. This is Cut 9.
My point is, apparently, the XXXY chromosomes are insufficient. Because when we wake up in the morning, we exaggerate whatever feature we want to portray the gender of our choice. Either the one you're assigned, the one you choose to be, whatever it is. And so now, just to tie a bow on this, I say to you, I think I read that the United States was a land where we have the pursuit of happiness. Suppose no matter my chromosomes, today I feel 80% female, 20% male. I'm gonna put on makeup. I'm gonna do that. Tomorrow I might feel 80% male. I'll remove the makeup and I'll wear a muscle shirt. Why do you care? What business is it of yours to require that I fulfill your inability to think of gender on a spectrum?
Because it's required that we fulfill your desire to foist this narrative on us.
I'm just going to say that is his arguments are stupidity on an astronomical level.
Yeah.
See what I did
there? There you go.
There's so much wrong with what he's saying.
He's dumber than the worst hick out there.
Yes, he is.
Isn't he? Dumber than a brick. Dumber than a brick and a house of a hick.
Yes, or a house of bricks.
Yeah, I think, okay, what that fella said there.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a what? He's an
astrophysicist.
Obviously a very intelligent man.
He is a very smart guy. He's a tough debater.
But on the other hand, what he said right there was dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb on several levels. First of all, until about 5 minutes ago, everybody knew they were either a male or a female.
Yep.
Okay, this is a fairly recent bout with hysteria that the left has had. What he said never happened my whole life. On my worst day, I never looked in the mirror and thought, kind of girl, I think I'm going to go girl today. Never happened. Now, I understand there are people with gender dysphoria. It is a psychological condition. It is a mental health issue. I am not belittling people who struggle with that, nor do I belittle people who struggle with anorexia, who look in the mirror and say, I'm fat. I'm going to stop eating. That is, to me, those two things are on an equal plane. His argument about gender being on a spectrum is only the last 25 or 30, 40 years where the sexual radicals have tried to separate sex from gender. So prior to that in human history, nobody was separating those two. And then this idea that we live in America where if it makes you happy, you should be allowed to do it. Now, this gentleman, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's black, right?
Yes.
He's black. So, Neil, do you think it's okay if someone wants to be a racist? I mean, it's a free country, right? Doesn't harm anybody. What business is it of anybody else if a person wants to? No, we look at certain things as wrong as a culture, and we collectively condemn those things, and we have the right to say, if you want to dress up, you want to look in the mirror and put makeup on, that's fine. That doesn't mean you can come to work and get behind, well, the Supreme Court has disagreed, but it doesn't mean you can tell my kids, my little kids at school, that my little boy, he might be a girl, and hey, we're going to let you dress in girls' clothes while you're here. We're not going to tell your parents. That's what everyone's upset about, Neil, and it doesn't take an astrophysicist to know that.
Also, what would he say if can you identify as a certain ethnicity from day to day, depending on how you feel?
And you want to, yeah, these people don't have answers to that. I want to take a black person's spot at Harvard, so I'm going to right now, again, the Supreme Court has disagreed with race-based admissions.
But you're trying to show the illogic of the you can choose your gender for the day crowd.
I want a spot that has been set aside
right.
for people of color. Now I'm as white as they
or
come,
a minority, just or say a minority.
And so I'm going to identify as that. Give me that spot. Right. And if you and don't, I'm going to sue you.
And then people would say, these same leftists would say, that's ridiculous. You're not brown or black or Chinese or whatever. And you would say, well, I feel
race
it,
is a spectrum.
But I am today.
And according to Neil deGrasse Tyson, I have the right, since I live in America, to do
happy.
What makes me happy.
Right. And if you're happy identifying as a person of a different ethnicity than you actually are, and insisting people call you that, then they should be good with that.
And I'm going to identify as an 18-year-old.
Right.
And I want to go to Harvard.
Right.
I want to start all. I want to get a good education.
But you still got your driver's license. I wouldn't identify as like 14, 15. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No.
Then if you got pulled over and you said, what are you doing driving? You said, yeah. Let me see your driver's license. I don't have one.
I can identify as something else at that point.
It can get complicated.
It does.
All right, Steve, next story.
Hey, let's talk about two. There's a group of four Nigerians who decided that they wanted to stow away on a cargo ship. They thought they were going to Europe, right? So they swam out and they climbed up on the rudder of this huge ship, and they sat there and they thought they were going to Europe. Thought it would last maybe 5 or 6 days. It took 10 days worth of rations with them. They ended up in Brazil. 14
all the way
days
across
later,
the Atlantic.
All the way across the Atlantic on the rudder of a cargo ship. And they got the one guy's name is Roman Friday. The other guy's name is Thank God Matthew Yei. Yeah, thank God. THANKGOD, one word. When they ran out of water, they drank seawater, which I didn't think you're supposed to be able to do, but they did. So they said when they showed up, the police were out there to try to help them and rescue them and then interdict them. They said, do you know where you are? He said, no. He says, in Brazil. I said, Brazil? I'm in Brazil. One of them decided to seek asylum there and stayed. The other one, I don't know what happened to them. But can you imagine 14 days on the rudder of a ship?
You showed us a picture this morning in our story meeting. I mean, this you fall off while that rudder's going. You're going to get chopped up. I mean, that's a very dangerous.
At least you're gonna be left behind. That's for sure.
Where were they trying to reach?
I think they thought the ship was going to Europe from Nigeria, like through the Suez Canal.
Gotcha. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Ed, thank you.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you listening, everybody, to the program today. Today's issues. Check out our. If you didn't get to hear all the show and you want to hear it, some of our past programs. We're at podcasting at AFR.net, AFR.net.
Little drop-down menu that says podcast.
Yes, sir. So, thank you again for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.